want to speak about one topic tonight that will include the discussion of the 10 plagues, partially, and the Arba Lashono Shel Geula. And the general topic is, why was it necessary for us to be in Mitzrayim altogether? Hanukkah time, we explained that if you don't understand the purpose for the Tzara, then there's nothing to celebrate the Yeshua. Because we gave an example, if somebody breaks somebody's legs and heals him, he doesn't owe him any thanks. But if the reason he broke the legs is for a therapeutic purpose, and that's part of the cure, then he thanks him not only for curing him, he thanks him for breaking his legs too. So if you don't understand why it was necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put us into Shibud Mitzrayim, then there's nothing to celebrate Pesach about. Don't get me in there and don't take me out.
Why did it take 10 plagues?
I will see. We'll see. And in any case, here it's even the stronger question, because here God foretold to Avraham Avinu that his children would have to go through the being strangers and enslaved and tortured. So if God already said it's going to happen, then why didn't he prevent? And if he didn't prevent it, what's the big deal that he took us out of there? Don't put us in. Don't take us out. In order to understand, I want to start with the Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara says like this. What did Avraham Avinu do that caused his children to be enslaved in Egypt for 210 years? And the Gemara says three different opinions. First opinion, that he questioned the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Okay, he said, "B'mor Eida ki Yirashena." When God promised him that the Jewish people would inherit Eretz Yisrael, that he would have children, and the children would inherit Eretz Yisrael. So it says he believed God about the children, but he questioned, "How do I know that they're going to inherit?" So because he questioned the midos of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right, he was punished that his children should be enslaved in Egypt for 210 years. Okay, just let's see the Gemara first, and we'll see it's very, very difficult. Second opinion in the Gemara. Sha'asa ingariya b'talmidei chachamim. Because he took the people who were learning in his kolel, right, he had all these people that he made Jewish or made believers in God, and they were learning Torah in his home, and he took them to and put them in his army to save Lot. So, because also in Gariya b'Talmidei Chachamim, because he took people who were studying Torah and he took them away from the Torah and put them in his army, therefore he was punished that his children should be enslaved for 210 years. The third opinion, Shalohichnis Anshe Sedom Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. Because when he came back from that battle and he brought all of the people who were captured, the people of Sedom who were captured by the four kings, and he wanted to bring them back, and he took all the booty. So Melech Sedom said, "Look, you give me the people, so I have a king to be over somebody. And you can keep the booty." And Avraham Avinu says, "I'm not keeping anything. Take everything back. I wouldn't keep a shoelace from you." And he gave everything back, the people and the money. So Chazal say he should have not given back the people. He should have brought them home and tried to convince them to believe in God, not to be people of Sodom. But because he didn't bring them under the wings of God's presence, therefore his children were enslaved for 210 years. Okay. Very difficult Gemara. Let's even assume that these were sins. Then why shouldn't Avraham Avinu be punished? Not his children. He should be enslaved for 210 years if he did something wrong. Why should his children be punished for something he did wrong? First question. Secondly, are these really sins? The first one, he questioned God. Okay? Did he really question God? God didn't understand that as a question of, how do I know? Avraham Avinu just said, I want to know the merit that they will have to get Eretz Israel. And God understood that because he told them the merit of the sacrifices. So he didn't think he was questioning him. How do I know? Prove it to me. He told him. He answered the question that he asked. What merit will they have? This is the merit. What was it saying? He didn't question God. He just wanted to know what merit the Jewish people have to get Eretz Yisrael. The second thing. He took Talmidei Chachamim to what's it called, to save Lot. Okay. What should he have done? Okay. He didn't have anybody else to call upon. These were the people he had available. Lot's life was in danger. He was captured by the four kings, and his life, as he was a captive, his life was in danger. So what's the halacha? Even though it says that learning Torah is greater than saving lives, that doesn't mean that you don't save lives because you're learning Torah. It means you stop learning Torah, you go save a life. The Torah wants you to do the lesser thing. But he had nobody else. Ain't some chenonesh. You don't rely on miracles. So he took every able-bodied man he could to go fight against four kings who just vanquished five kings to save his nephew. So what's the problem? And how long did he take them away from Torah learning? 6 hours. That was it. It wasn't even a six-day war, a six-hour war. That's it. One night. One half a night. Till midnight. That was it. The war was over. So for that he gets punished. His children are enslaved for 210 years. And lastly, he didn't bring the people of Sodom under wings of God's presence. What should he have done? Brought these people home and tried to influence them, be makar of them. We're not talking about, you know, some college kids that, you know, Avraham Avinu happened to say. We're talking about the people of Sodom, who 2 pages later in the Chumash are wiped off the face of the earth because they're the dregs of society. Right? There's no redeemable value to them. So Avraham should bring them home. Sarah, here's what's it called, all the people of Sodom, let's see if we can be makar of them. And what are they going to do to the people that Avraham have in his household and to his household itself? So he couldn't be makar of them. They're incorrigible. So he didn't bring them home. Was he supposed to bring these people home? So it doesn't seem like any of these things are really sins. And even if they would be, why shouldn't Avraham Avinu be punished? Why should his children be punished? So to understand this, want to start with a preface, and when we understand the preface, then we'll see the... Avraham Avinu was told by Lech Lecha me'artzecha, mi'molvaditecha, mi'beisavicha, eva'oretz asher areka, ve'eescha le'goy gadol, v'avorechecha, v'agab lo shmecha, ve'heyei bracha. God said, I want you to leave where you are now, and I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, and I there will make you into a great nation. Meaning the following. The purpose, every nation has its mission in this world. The mission of the Jewish people is to be Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. A nation, a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. And we've explained many times what that means is, we are God's representatives to the world. By living a holy existence in every area, governed by the Torah, and specifically in Eretz Yisrael, where we are insulated from the rest of the world and can create a Torah society, a holy society, in that way we are God's representatives to the world. In order to do that, we have to be a totally God-made nation. God made us into a nation. We're not self-made, we're God-made. And since God made us into a nation, we are God's representatives. Every nation has three things that set it apart from every other nation. They have an identity that's different than the identity of other nations. They have resources that they can use their identity, use those resources that are different. Every nation has things that they have that are special to them. Some have oil, some have minerals, some have various talents that they have. Right, everyone has their resources that they were given in this world by God, and they have their purpose. What use your identity and your resources? What do you contribute towards the world? What's your mission in this world? Every nation has something they contribute to the world, and they do it by using the resources that God gave them and their identity, their abilities, capabilities, talents, their unique national identity. That's what makes a nation. The Rebbe Hashem told Avraham Avinu, I want you to divest yourself of these three things. want you to give up your identity, your resources, and your goals. That's called Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, from your land. People identify by the land where they are. Moladetecha, your birthplace, gives you your resources, right? Your mazel. And Beis Avicha, your father's home, gives you your goals, purposes. Divest yourself of those things here. And I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. And there I will, the Esch HaLegoi Gadol, I'll give you an identity. I'll make you into a great nation. V'avarechach, and I'll bless you with resources. V'agadlo Shemech, I'll make your name great because I'll give you purpose. And you will be a God-made nation, and then you'll be able to fulfill your purpose as being my representatives to the world, a holy nation. Now, if the Avos had developed the foundation for this nation, the identity, the resources, and the goals would all have been totally founded on godliness, then that would be no problem. And the nation would have evolved, the nation would have grown, and eventually settled in Eretz Yisrael and get on with its national purpose. But Avraham Avinu blemished the foundation of the Jewish nation in all three of these areas. He blemished the identity, the resources, and the goals. And those are the three sins. Sin does not necessarily mean you did something wrong. It means something's missing. There's a blemish. And therefore it means the following. When Avraham Avinu questioned God, and he said, what merit do the Jewish people have to get Eretz Yisrael? That created a blemish in the identity of the Jewish people. Because if our identity is a holy nation who has a special relationship with God, then Eretz Yisrael fits us like a glove. Because that is the definition, the description of Eretz Yisrael. It's a holy land that has a special relationship with God. So, as the Gemara says, Omad vayimodeid oretz, God measured all the lands, and he found no land more suitable to the Jewish people than Eretz Yisrael, and no people more suitable to Eretz Yisrael than the Jewish people. We fit each other like a glove. But if Avraham Avinu questions, we need a merit. There has to be something external that will connect the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. That means that it puts our identity into question. If we're not identified with what Eretz Yisrael is, we need some outer thing to what's it called, to connect us, then what is the identity of the Jewish people? So in all the spiritual world, by saying that, he created a blemish in the identity of the Jewish people, in the foundation of the identity. What was God's answer? The sacrifices. You don't need an outside thing. Just bring out your essence. The sacrifices bring out the essence of the person. All you have to do is bring out your essence and you have a connection to the land of Israel. You don't need an outside merit for it. But in any case, Avraham Avinu's question left a blemish on a crack in the foundation of the identity of this emerging nation. Then Avraham Avinu took the 318 people he had learning in his kollel, and he took them out for a night of saving Lot. Now, it could be that he had no choice. He had to do that. Lot's life was in danger. Somebody's life's in danger. You have to go save them. Okay. But the truth is that the halacha is, that even though the halacha is that you do stop learning Torah to save a life, but that's not because saving lives is greater than learning Torah. Because learning Torah is greater than saving lives. Let's explain in 1 second why. But in a situation where there's a life to be saved, you have to stop learning. Just like Pesach night, when you're learning Torah, and it comes time to eat matzah. You have to stop learning and fill your mouth with the matzah. Okay? Not because the mitzvah of matzah is greater than Torah learning. Torah learning is much greater than the mitzvah of matzah. But the Torah wants you to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah too. So if it's a mitzvah that you can't do through somebody else, and you can't push off, you have to do it now, and you have to do it, you have to do it. Even though you're stopping a bigger mitzvah of learning Torah. How could it be that learning Torah is greater than saving lives? Because we believe that without the Torah, the world would cease to exist. So everyone who learns Torah keeps the world going. It's the energy source of the world. The more Torah that's being learned, the more substantive the world is. The more secure it is. The deeper the Torah that's being learned, the more energy goes into the existence of the world. So a person who's learning Torah is keeping the whole world going. Somebody who's saving a life is saving a specific life. So keeping the whole world going is greater than saving any specific life, even a lot of lives. But the Torah wants you to save lives. So it means stop learning and do it. So he did what was proper. But on the other hand, the fact that he took the people who were the greatest resource of the Jewish people, the people learning Torah, they're the greatest resource. They are the greatest strength. That's what the Jewish people are about. This resource of Lomdei Torah. And he took them and used them for a purpose that was less than that. It left a blemish on the resources of the Jewish people. And maybe if Avraham Avinu would have been on a higher level, Lot wouldn't have been captured to begin with, and he wouldn't have had to take them and use them for something less. So even though he did what was right, but it wasn't the ideal. The things could have been better. If Avraham Avinu was on a higher level, maybe it never would have been necessitated. Maybe he would have, his merit would have saved Lot from being captured to begin with. But it didn't work out like that. Came out that there was a blemish in the resources of the Jewish people. And the third thing is, what's the goal of the Jewish people? To bring the whole world to a recognition of God. Now, Avraham Avinu was right. He couldn't bring the people of Sodom into his home. But maybe if he was on a higher level, maybe he could have. Maybe the people of Sodom never would have reached those low levels if Avraham Avinu was on a higher level. So, in the eyes of the world, not bringing the people of Sodom home puts a blemish in the goal of the Jewish people. What's the purpose? If not to bring people under God's wings? And here, Avraham is just letting them go. So, true, if you think about it, he did the right thing. But the fact that it had to happen like that left a blemish in the foundation of the purpose of the Jewish people. So, therefore, the foundation in all three areas was blemished. In the area of identity, by questioning if we have a merit to get Eretz Yisrael, resources by using Talmidei Chachamim to save lives, and the purpose by not bringing the people of Sodom. So it's not a question of a sin that you're being punished for. It's a blemish in the foundation of the Jewish people. When you have a blemish in a foundation, how do you correct it? You can't build a house on a blemished foundation. If it has cracks in the foundation, the whole house is going to fall in. You also can't put super glue in the cracks, and that's it. When there's cracks in the wall, maybe you can put super glue in it. There's cracks in the foundation, what you have to do is take away that part of the foundation and reset it. And therefore, what had to be done is the foundation had to be annulled, at least up to that point that was cracked, and reset, rebuilt. Not repaired, but rebuilt. Not completely taken away, but where the blemish was, it had to be taken away and the cement relayed. Therefore, the Rabbanu Shlom said it's going to necessitate, not a punishment, but a period of correction, of tikkun, by them going through a situation where their identity is going to be erased to a certain degree, their resources are going to be taken away from them, and their purpose is going to be taken away. And that was Shibud Mitzrayim. Ger Yezaracha, you're going to be a stranger in a strange land, that to a certain degree takes away your identity. You lose your identity, you become swallowed up by the host country. Avodim, an Eved, doesn't have any resources. Whatever he owns belongs to his master. Even his body belongs to his master. So they're going to have to go through a period of slavery where their resources are going to be taken from them. And Inu Osam, they're going to be, what's it called, tortured and oppressed. And I think last week we explained the oppression was Avodas Perech. I don't know, maybe we didn't explain it. Avodas Perech means purposeless work. They purposeless work. Avodas Perech is work that breaks you. It's work without a purpose. Because work with a purpose is exhilarating, gives you a feeling of accomplishment. Avodas Perech is work that has no purpose to it. It says they built these cities on sand, and they fell in, they had to build them again. Paro, in the end of last week's Sedra, said, I'm not giving you a straw, you're going to produce the same quota. Why didn't he say, I'm going to give you straw and produce double the quota? He would have gotten double the amount of bricks and they would have worked double hard. But he didn't want them to feel accomplishment. You're not going to accomplish anything more and you're going to work double hard. That breaks a person. Work that has no purpose. So by having to work with no purpose, they lost their purpose in life. And after 210 years of a combination of these three things, the foundation of the Jewish people was raised. Their identity, the blemished identity, blemished resources, blemished purpose, that portion was taken away. And then overnight, God rebuilt it. God made overnight. And that was the three expressions of Geula, which this week's Sedra starts out. And I know there's four, but it doesn't fit into my Bar Torah. So let me tell you, there's really only three. Even though we always speak about the Arba Lashonos Shel Geula, there's really only three. It says the Vilna Gaon the following. It says six expressions of redemption. V'hotzeisi Eschem, I'll take you out. V'hitzalti, I'll save you. V'go'alti, I'll redeem you. V'lokachti, I'll take you as a nation. Then it says, V'idatem kini Hashem, you'll know that I'm God. V'heveisi Eschem, and I'll bring you into Eretz Yisrael. So there's six. Why four? Says the Vilna Gaon, very simply, that the Lashonos of Geula, the expressions of redemption, end with V'go'alti. Anything after V'go'alti, I'll redeem you, is post-Geula. So those aren't counted. There's only one problem. Till V'go'alti is only three. V'hotzeisi, V'itzalti, V'go'alti. Says the Vilna Gaon, V'go'alti has two parts to it. V'go'alti Eschem, Bizroa Netuya, U'v'shvatim Gedolim. It says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great punishments for the Egyptians. So the Go'alti counts twice. There's two Go'altis. The Go'alti Bezron Netuya and the Go'alti Bishvatim Gedolim. That's four. But it's really three. And the fourth one, the third one, has two aspects to it. So therefore, what happens is the following. God then remade us into a nation. I'll take you from amongst the Egyptians and give you back your identity. I'll save you from their work. You won't be a slave anymore. You'll get back your resources. And I will redeem you and give you purpose. And I'll give you the purpose in two ways. One way is I will take away the impediments from the outside that want to prevent you from fulfilling your purpose. And I'll give you a shot in the arm that you'll want to fulfill your purpose. Sometimes you don't fulfill your purpose because you're too lazy, and sometimes because there's forces from the outside that stop you. So God said, I'll take away both of those and give you back your purpose. Before he did that, however, he wanted to show us, sometimes you can't appreciate the positive until you compare it to the negative. It's the contrast that makes you really appreciate. If you want to appreciate what kind of nation we are, our identity and our resources and our goals, all based on God, right? So you see the antithesis of that in Egyptian society. The Egyptian identity, the Egyptian resources, the Egyptian goals were all man-made. The Egyptians were the ultimate people who felt that they had no connection to God. Paro said, mine is the Nile and I made it. Paro considered himself the creator of the world. The Egyptians were the height of technology, science, magic. They felt they could control the world. Who, Mi Hashem, who's this God who you think controls the world? There are forces, powers that we can manipulate, like the sun god or whatever, that we believe in. But we're the ones in control. No God, Yudke Vovke, that created everything, that's in control of everything, that they didn't believe in. So the antithesis of what the Jewish people are supposed to develop as an identity, as resources and goals, the antithesis is in Mitzrayim. And therefore, before God took us out of it and created a God-made identity, God-made resources, God-made purpose, and made us a God-made nation, he let us see how bankrupt a man-made nation is. A nation that doesn't believe in God at all, that everything is totally kochivotzim yodi, my power, my doing. So he showed them the bankruptcy of the Egyptian culture by giving them the 10 plagues. Why 10? Because the 10 plagues were split into three groups. Three plagues that showed the bankruptcy of the identity of the Egyptians, the three plagues that showed the bankruptcy of their resources, and the last four plagues that showed the bankruptcy of their purpose, of their goals. How so? Start with the first three. And these 10 plagues were corresponded to the 10 utterances with which God created the world, and the 10 commandments, and the 10 nisyonos that Avraham Avinu went through. That's why 10. 10 represents all these things, that these things represented God's involvement. He created the world, he's involved and rewards and punishes the Torah, and he, what's it called, is involved in what goes on in the world through the tests of Avraham Avinu. He's constantly involved in the world. These are the three foundations of God's involvement in the world, which is what God wanted to show, that when you take me out of the world, you uninvolve me, then you have a bankrupt society. So let's see the first three. We're going to speak about them a little bit more in detail. And the other ones, take my word that we could go into detail, but we don't have time. So the first three I'm going to show you, very interesting ideas. I think they're interesting at least. Let's first start with Dam. What happened? The river turned to blood. Right? The water turned to blood. Why? God created the world, created man, so he created a liquid that is the foundation of the life of a human being, called blood. And that's God's contribution. Man really has nothing to do with it. You're given your blood when you're born, and unless something goes wrong, you never have to replenish it. You never have to change it. It's like these worry-free batteries. You know, the water's there. You never have to add water. You never have to service it. And I found that these worry-free batteries, it means you're allowed to worry for free. They don't charge you for the worrying. But in any case, so that's God's foundation of life, blood. Okay. However, God wants us to be dynamic. He doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to also enhance our lives. So he gave us another liquid called water. That's what we introduce. We drink the water to ensure and enhance our lives. But we should realize that the foundation of our life is the blood. It's God's doing. We have to take what God gave us and enhance it. But never think that you're the foundation of your life. You're the cause of your life. You have to realize God caused your life and you enhance it. You promote it. So when a person feels that he's the foundation of his life, he takes God out of his life completely. So he's saying that God's blood is his water. You're changing my blood into water. You're saying that this liquid that I made, you're conceptually saying it's water. So you want to change my blood into water, I'll change your water into blood. Let's see how you fare. That's blood. That's one that showed the how corrupt their identity was. Once you change and make your a man-made, self-made identity, then what comes from that is noisy and harmful, and no good comes from that. It comes a society that is a destructive society. That's the frogs. From that come frogs. And then what comes from that is man's identity is that the whole world was created for him. The whole world gives him a place to be, and everything is subservient to him, and the world was created to be a place for him to stand. But if you corrupt your identity and you don't believe that it's given to you by God, then not only isn't the world a base for you, you become a base for the smallest creatures. You become the host to the lice. The earth turns into lice, and you become the host, and the lice become the things that were created. You were created to be a base for the lice instead of the earth created to be a base for you. That's the identity. That's the first three makos. Ditzach, Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim. Shows the corruptness of the identity of the Egyptians. They changed water, conceptual blood into water. God changed water into blood. Their identity became like the frogs. From that identity comes things that are just troublesome and bothersome and dangerous and harmful. And then man, instead of man being the world being the foundation for man, man becomes the foundation for lice. The earth itself turns into lice, and man becomes the base for them instead of the world being the base for him. Okay. The next three makos took care of their resources. The first, man is supposed to conquer the world and rule over the animals. Comes the wild animals and rule over him. And what's it called? Breaks his house, takes away his resources. Then comes the holy things, the things that you consider holy resources. Your cattle, they consider the cattle gods. They died. Dever. And then your body is a resource. That the bodies become totally, what's it called, with shchin, right, with boils, whatever. So takes away that resource. So the next three took away their resources. And the last four took away their goals. The next two, Borat and Arda, took away their immediate food supply and their long-range food supply. The grasshoppers took away the long-range food supply, and the Borat took away the immediate food supply. If you don't have a food supply, you don't have a future. And then Choshech took away their ability to function. If you can't function, you can't fulfill any goals. And Makas Bechoros took away their future generation. You can't fulfill goals in one generation. It's a long time thing, generation after generation. But if you don't have a future, you don't have your firstborn are taken away from you, then your ability to produce your goals is taken away. So God showed through the 10 plagues the bankruptcy of the Egyptian identity, Egyptian resources, Egyptian purposes, and when the Jews saw that, they could then appreciate what a real identity, a God-given identity is, which God then gave them back through the redemption, which happened in three ways, which was really four, right? The taking them out of the midst of the Egyptians, giving them an identity, giving back their resources by taking them out from being slaves, and giving them goals by redeeming them and giving them goals. And the redemption, again, was in two ways. One, to take away the outside deterrence from them fulfilling their goals, and to give them a kick in the pants, a shot in the arm, to want to fulfill their goals from the inside. If you think about it, those four stages represent the four cups of wine we drink at the Seder. When do we drink these cups of wine? The first cup, which corresponds to taking us out from amidst the Egyptians, meaning giving us an identity, is Kiddush. What does Kiddush speak about? The identity of the Jewish people. Asher bochar bonu mikolam, you chose us from all the nations, the romamonu mikolashon, that's what Kiddush is. Kiddush speaks about the holy identity of the Jewish people and the fact that God chose us. So Kiddush represents that first stage of redemption, where God gave us back our identity and made it a God-given identity. What's the second cup? The second cup we drink right before we're ready to eat the matzah, the maror, the whole table is there in front of us, and we finish the Haggadah, and now we're ready to partake of the meal. That's our resources. All the resources are there in front of you, and you drink the second cup. The second cup is God stopped us from being slaves, gave us back our own resources. What's the third cup? The third cup is benching. Benching corresponds to the idea that God will give us back purpose from the inside, to give us the incentive to want to fulfill our purpose and to understand we have a tremendous purpose. Now, what does that do with benching? Benching is, I ate, thank God, I ate. What does that do with anything with purpose? Well, the answer is, benching is a lot longer than that. There's a lot of things in benching that don't seem to fit there. If I had to compose a prayer for grace after meals, I would say it would go something like this. God, the food was great. Thank you very much for providing it. Hope to see you by the next meal, and thank you. What, you know, right. What more could you need, right? So what do you have to have in bench? That's the first bracha in a more dignified way. But there's more brachas. You have to speak about bris, Torah, Eretz Yisrael. You have to speak about the Davidic dynasty and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Why do you have to go through a refresher course in Jewish history just because you ate a sandwich? What in the world does all of that have to do with eating? But the answer is that And to really appreciate eating, you have to appreciate what it enables you to do. If you have no purpose in life, so you ate, so you get a few more calories, you have a little more energy, so what? But if the purpose for living is great, then enabling you to be able to live that noble purpose, then you have to really thank. Then it's something, the more the purpose and what you're doing, the more you have to thank for it. The less the purpose, right? God gave you the ability to dig holes at the seashore that eventually get filled up with seawater and fall in, big deal. But if God gave you the ability to mine diamonds, then you have to thank Him for that because the purpose is greater. So the same thing over here. If you, in order to really thank God for the food, food meaning your ability to continue to exist, to get a little bit more strength, a little bit more energy, you have to appreciate what life is all about. So life is because of Bris and Torah and Eretz Yisrael and Malchus Beis David, and this is the grand purpose of all life. And I ate and got a chance to be part of that a little bit more. I really have to thank God for that. He really gave me something special. Not only just a sandwich, but what it represents. So in order to appreciate what you ate, you have to appreciate what the purpose of life is. So therefore, the benching represents purpose from the inside. The incentive to want to fulfill your purpose from the inside. And then comes the last cup, Hallel, which thanks God for taking away all the deterrents, all the people who would want to stop us throughout history from fulfilling our purpose, and God saved us from them and took away those deterrents. So the four cups correspond to the four expressions of Geula, which really are only three, but the third one has two aspects to it, and they correspond to the things that we said that the Geula represents: identity, resources, goals, which corrected the blemishes in those three things that came from Avraham Avinu's sins, meaning the blemishes that he caused in the foundation, and those were corrected by first going through Shibud Mitzrayim, where those blemishes were erased, our identity to a certain degree was erased, our resources were erased, our goals were erased, and then they were rebuilt totally on God's doing. Okay, that's in a nutshell the idea of why it was necessary Shibud Mitzrayim. Yes.
Is the Shalach a recapitulation of these same three goals?
Here's the.
Is the Shalach a recapitulation of these same three things?
I can tell you about things that other people speak about, whatever. More contemporary things, you need a Navi to tell you. I would imagine maybe, it could be, but I'm not the one to. I don't know. Could be.
I have a problem with the whole. We'll lose the whole assimilation issue. How is that in any way?
Okay. I don't know. It's a different subject, right? It could be that there are roots of these things in all of this that's happening today too, because it says every galus is a recapitulation of Shibud Mitzrayim, and every geula is a recapitulation of the Gula till the final one. So it's constantly, it's in every generation, a person has to see himself as he's part of that process. So yeah, it's part of the process, then it's not going to be complete until Mashiach comes, and every step along the way, there's always Gulas and Gula happening, and the purpose of the Gulas is to take away to a certain degree that identity, the purpose of the Gula is to bring back that identity. Good.